Welcome to Eureka Street Crypto. This is my anti-professional crypto channel. I'm just a barely sane dude who fell down the cryptocurrency rabbit hole. This channel is my fumbling attempt to communicate myself outside my own head about my journey in the crypto space. It is basically my brain dump. None of this is actual financial advice.
Howdy and good morning. I'm Eureka John, and this is Eureka Street Crypto, broadcasting live at 5:36 in the morning. Yep. It's early, and it is New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2021. This year has finally come to a close. Here I am up at the butt crack of dawn, like I am every single morning, doing my deal. It's my birthday today. All right, yay! I'm turning 46, Yeah, it's not really a whole lot happens after 45, I don't think. Your back starts to hurt a lot more. Your belly starts to sag some. No longer got the tight six-pack abs, you know, although I've never really had that tight six-pack abs. But it's still dark in the morning, as you can see. Look at that. All right. So this is what I do every single morning. I wake up and I talk about some crypto stuff and crypto news, crypto stuff that I learn. This is my video blog, aka Brain Dump. And do this every single morning. And I have since October 24th, 2020. February 6th, 2021, October 24th, 2020 was when I first switched on the public stream. And then I was trying to figure out when and how I was going to do all this. And it took a few months to kind of get into my routine of it. This is me going publicizing my journey of learning about crypto, and you're on it. Hopefully you can learn something from my mistakes. It's definitely not financial advice, and it's not technical analysis or fundamental analysis or anything like that. It's just me, a dude with the camera. I have no authority from anybody except from myself and God, right? So there's really nobody telling me and giving me permission to do this. That is the spirit of blockchain. Everything should be absolutely permissionless, right? Let's go into the old CoinGecko, see where we are today. So CoinGecko, let's refresh this page. I just kind of like use this page, the crypto markets page, to kind of start out my show. And it gives me kind of a little landing spot to be like, all right, we're going to start the show. I don't really honestly sit here and stare at these charts all that much because it's price is... especially with the inflation of the dollar going on. But price to me, yes, it's good. I want to do well. I want to be wealthy one day. Sure, you know. But to me, it's like this is like the beginning of the internet, you know. You know that everything is going to get really big if you know what's going on right now. Nobody knows what's going on. But if you can see what's happening kind of, then you know that all this is going to mushroom into something way bigger than it is right now. And so price to me is kind of irrelevant. Everything's kind of in the red today. You know, looking all that red, sure, you know. And the past 24 hours, things are a little green, I guess. But I'm finding projects that I like, that I share values with, that I see potential in, that have good fundamentals. I buy those whenever I have any extra money, you know, and then I'm also getting involved in the whole concept of DAOs, of decentralized autonomous organizations that are ideally trying to be more horizontally oriented rather than a vertical top-down centralized structure, because that is the spirit of blockchain and crypto in general, is just the whole decentralization of everything. Think about organic cultures, you know, Native American cultures before colonialism stepped in. You know, everything was decentralized. And then, you know, you had the colonialists come in and they basically wanted to create some sort of legibility out of all this. And I know this all, you know, centralization existed in Mayan civilizations and Aztec civilizations and all that. But I'm just saying, like, you know, organic nature by nature is decentralized. And then, you know, here comes colonial powers and centralized powers coming in, trying to create some sort of legibility of it. You know, governments love legibility, and legibility is where you put everything in rows. You know, you plant forests, you know, in rows. You count for every single individual tree. You know, because that way you can optimize the resources for the benefit of one or the few, you know. So that's what legibility is to be able to read a layout in order to be able to optimize all the resources for the many for the benefit of the few. And that is what blockchain ideally is trying to stop, is this centralized authority over your data, over your finances, over everything in your life. And so right now we are kind of at a crux, right? Between dystopia and utopia. And which way are we going to go on it? I don't know. But that's why I'm doing this show, because I'm constantly asking these questions in the context of all these current technological developments. Which way are we going to go? We are right now at a crux in civilization, especially with all the recent innovations that have come out, you know, with, you know, all these different identification systems, with AI, with, you know, biology and you know, genetics and everything that is going on right now. We are definitely at some sort of crux between complete dystopia or possible utopia. Who knows? So, so Bitcoin's at $48,149.88. All right, Ethereum is at $3,784.53. I mean, honestly, right now, to me, it seems like it'd be a good time to buy. But, you know, again, not financial advice. But if I had any extra money, I mean, because some people say, you know, Ethereum maxis, they're like, you know, screw Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin's for dinosaurs. And, of course, the Bitcoin maxis say screw Ethereum and all other shite coins. Anything that is not Bitcoin is a shite coin. So if you're new here and you walk into a room full of a bunch of people fighting, your first inclination is to turn around and walk out. yeah. Unless you're just kind of nosy and you just kind of want to like sit there and, you know, look through the glass window and you know, like a reality TV show, like every single, housewife show that I've ever seen. And as my wife was watching this the other night, you know, she sits in bed and watches this stuff while I'm down here doing my stuff on my computer. And, you know, I walk up there and I just see walking into the room, I just hear all the bickering, you know, and it's the same every single time. It's a bunch of ladies sitting around a table at a restaurant, and a nice restaurant too. And they're all just arguing and crying and like talking about each other. So that must be what it must look like to somebody outside, sometimes coming in to crypto Twitter for their first time or the crypto space, you know. So I don't know. And I was like, do they ever go anywhere or like do anything fun where they're just not talking about each other? And she's like, no, not on this show. I'm like, can you enjoy watching this? She's like, yeah, actually I do. And I was like, okay, man, you know, like, hey, you know, we all have our vices, right? Yeah, you know, so. Oh, man, I don't even know where I was going with that. Anyway, happy morning to you. Happy New Year's Eve morning, you know, and I hope 2021 has been good for you, and I hope 2022 is going to look up for you. I think 2022 is going to be a really interesting year. Hey, it's Ernest Agaya. Hey, welcome, man. Nice to see you here. He says, hey, howdy, charted Bitcoin on 10 minutes in hashtag markets. Okay. I don't know what that means. But anyway, 2021 was kind of like, I guess, the year of NFTs and the beginning of DAOs. 2020 was the year of DeFi. Also in 2022 or 2021, you have DeFi 2.0 coming in, which is protocol owned liquidity. So I think in 2022, we're going to see an advancement of DAOs, and then the whole idea of decentralized IDs is really going, or just of digital IDs, first of all, is really going to come and land on everybody, whether they like it or not. Now, this could go, like I said, one of two ways. This could go completely centralized, you know, top down. There's a major cyber attack that happens, shuts everything down. Problem, react, and solution, Hegelian dialect, like the big state likes to use, and then come in and slap everybody with digital IDs and, you know, jab passports and everything like that. Or it could go the other way, and that's, and then, you know, initiate everybody into a complete, you know, dystopian, you know, complete digital you know, enslavement, right? And social credit score, and where you can't order, you know, a double pepperoni pizza because your medical records say your cholesterol is too high and an AI bot stops you from doing that, you know, that whole scenario. Or you could get your decentralized ID. All your transactions could be private with a decentralized digital ID. You could own your data. You could be able to choose your social media platform, and you could have complete autonomy and freedom in the digital space, including the metaverse. So yeah, we don't know which way this is going to go. So like I said, right now we are at a crux in our civilization. So that's why I'm here. And this is why I'm so interested in it, because every single day there's like, you know, it leans one way or the other, and it kind of wavers, and we're going back and forth with the direction we're going to go with all this stuff. And there's people on both sides of the fence, you know, and I'm trying not to take sides. I'm trying to walk straight and narrow down the middle path. And a lot of times in this extremely polemic society, it's really hard not to be completely pushed one way or the other. So it's a really tight balancing act to stay in the middle. Ernest says, Happy New Year's Day. Happy New Year's Day to you too. And the Dow Markets channel is where he charted Bitcoin. I don't know that market channel. Charted the head and shoulders pattern. Head and shoulders, cup and handle, ascending wedge, descending wedge, the wedgie, the toilet bowl flush. I don't know. Which, I mean, I don't know graphs, chart patterns. And I would be a total amateur. Beware of amateurs that come on there and do TA on all the YouTube stuff. Honestly, I don't think there's a single Bitcoin chart analysis that could have predicted where we are landing at the end of year today. Because 3 months ago, everybody was predicting Bitcoin to at least be 75,000 right now. There's not a single person. I mean, there may be like one or two YouTubers out there that's kind of like, see, I called it, you know, 48,000. I knew it. But, you know, the lucky guess, you know, is my best answer on that. But the majority of people that you would see, YouTubers and people on crypto Twitter and everybody thought Bitcoin was at least going to be 75,000 by the end of the year. And it hasn't been. So I don't know. You know, that's why, yes, there is some value in technical analysis, because there's some value in looking at patterns and looking at the past and looking at, you know, things like that. I'm not dismissing technical analysis by any means. But when you get like every single Tom, Dick, and Harry on YouTube, and a guy like me going on there just who learns a software program and learns how to draw a line, and there's a billion of them online, that's kind of where there's kind of an issue. Let's go back over here. It's yesterday. Yesterday. I talked a little bit about the gas token that they did the airdrop for, and here's my new NFT, bra shopping. And where is it? Yeah. I drew this way back in 2000. I put up some NFTs trying to explore the whole NFT space. And I drew this back in 2009, hungover on a coffee table after a show. My performance reports are due, but I would rather go shopping for a new brassiere. Where was I? So yeah, I was talking yesterday about the gas token drop, right? So the gas DAO, and what they're trying to do with the gas DAO, you can claim your gas tokens as one, reimburse some people for them, some of the gas stuff, but two, have a say in the EIP, which is Ethereum Improvement Protocol proposals. It's kind of, Ethereum has been criticized for being a little centralized and stuff like that. So this really gives the holders of the most active Ethereum users and the developers a chance to kind of be a little more involved in the EIP proposal protocol and the solution here and the voting process. But one of the things that this does, and let me find it here, is they're going to try to revise the Open Zeppelin, a smart contract open source code base. And if you don't know what Open Zeppelin is, let me see if I can find it here. Introducing gas. I need to find that roadmap. Where'd you go, roadmap? I will find it. But on the roadmap, one of their things that they're trying to accomplish with the gas DAO is to revise the Open Zeppelin. Here it is. Here's the roadmap. All right, so I can't find it right now. I keep going to the wrong page. They're trying to revise the Open Zeppelin open source code base, which is a code base that a lot of developers use in smart contracts. And then in order to have a safe smart contract, it's always good to go look at the token address on Etherscan. And to examine the contract, make sure it's not just all binary code, so that there's actual readable code language on there. And then you check for audits to see if it's been audited. So this happens a lot too, when you get random airdrops in your wallets and stuff like that. And I do, you know, a lot of it is really janky stuff. Go look at the smart contract and see, you know, and test and see if it's legitimate, or if you see somebody trying to jump in and push you to buy some token, go look at the smart contract, see how long it's been around, see if it's a honeypot scam. 3 days ago, I talked about honeypot scams and ways to look out for a honeypot scam. And one way to look out for a scam is to see if it uses open source smart contracts. So here is openzeppelin.com right here. Open Zeppelin is, you know, kind of like a package of open source smart contracting code. The standard for secure blockchain applications, Open Zeppelin provides security products to build, automate, and operate decentralized applications. We also protect leading organizations by performing security audits on their systems and products. The challenges of building decentralized applications: security, economies in which software powers real money are exposed to hacks and attacks. Developer experience, lack of proper development and testing tools increases programming errors greatly. And operations, it's difficult to manage and fix problems in decentralized systems once they're deployed. So I was talking earlier about centralized versus decentralized, you know, about the tendency of centralized systems to want to create legibility. Well, there is a now becoming ways to do that in a decentralized fashion. And a lot of that is through open source software. And open source means anybody can see it, anybody can audit it, anybody can add to it and alter it and create their own versions of it and stuff like that. For instance, Linux, which is an operating system, is open source software. Then like Red Hat came in and they created a tiny difference in there, and then they branded it and they sold it, you know? So Open Zeppelin is a library of modular, reusable, secure smart contracts for the Ethereum network written in Solidity. All right, so let's go take a quick little look at that site. If you go to a smart contract on Etherscan, which I was telling you, always find the contract address, and you can find the contract address pretty easily on CoinGecko. For instance, let's take a look here at Chainlink, right? And Chainlink is built, it's an ERC-20 token. It's built on Ethereum, even though it's used as an oracle, but they should have a smart contract for Chainlink right there. Hold on, let me make sure you can see. Yeah, so if you go to CoinGecko and it's on CoinMarketCap there too, you can see the contract. You can copy and paste that. And you can go over here into Etherscan, and you can just, on the Etherscan homepage, you're right there. You can just plug in the top right there. I don't know if you can see it on this page. Hold on. Let me open up this page a little more so you can see this little more of this Etherscan page. There we go. All right. So it's kind of going in territory where you couldn't follow me there. If you're listening to audio, sorry, you know, I'm trying to describe everything that's going on. I have Etherscan on my page window right now, and I'm zooming it up so people can see all the parts of the Etherscan. All right, so you can put your contract address in right there that I would have copied and pasted. Well, in this case right here, it's 1 inch, right? So let me scroll down to 1 inch, and right here, here's the source code, which is Solidity, and scroll all the way down, and you kind of have to look for it, but I memorize where it is. It's on line 626. And on line 626, you can see right here a extension, Open Zeppelin, right here, Open Zeppelin /contracts/token ERC-20, right? So this is where it shows that it's using the Open Zeppelin smart contract library. And these are smart contract libraries, like pieces of code that have been tried and true and audited and tested by tons of developers and in the developer community. So you know it works. And then any type of contract that is using something so widely accepted by the larger community as a whole, is most likely not going to be that scammy. Because, yeah, if you see them trying to write from square one all their own base code smart contract software, then you know they might probably have, at best, a large attack surface with a bunch of holes in it. At worst, something specifically malicious. So, yeah, watch out for stuff like that. That's Open Zeppelin right there, and I showed you the Open Zeppelin homepage, and it's something good to look out for. And then what the GAS DAO is trying to do is they are trying to revise this Open Zeppelin smart contract package to make it to where the code is more streamlined. Because what happens when code is not streamlined, when you have a lot of code in a smart contract, that takes up more room on the block. And when you have more room on the block taken up, when you have a lot of computation being done and stuff like that, then that costs more gas, right? So if you can streamline that code and you get people to create a new revision of it that possibly can correct some mistakes or reduce some bloat in the Open Zeppelin smart contract platform, then you can streamline all that and make the gas prices a little cheaper from that angle. I mean, we're approaching this gas issue from a ton of different angles as an Ethereum community, and this is one of them, and I really commend them for that. Okay. So, that's kind of, I just wanted to talk about that and show you what I meant the other day about Open Zeppelin, because I kind of talked about that at the end of yesterday's episode about what the GAS DAO is doing, and I found that point particularly interesting. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about is Fahim.eth asked me if I'm on CyberConnect. And I was like, "What? I don't know what CyberConnect is." And now, speaking of decentralized IDs being kind of the new thing for 2022, that's going to be like, I think decentralized IDs are going to be like what NFTs were for 2021 and like DeFi was for 2020. I think decentralized ID space is going to completely blow up. And like I said, that could be for the better or for the worse, right? So we have platforms like Bright ID, Proof of Humanity, Ontology. They're all trying to approach this decentralized ID space with caution, but with a sense of trying to preserve everybody's privacy and ownership of their own data, which I think is great. You know, we are inevitably going into this metaverse, into this digital space. I don't know what that's going to look like. And like I said, it could be complete dystopia. It could be utopia. It could be a little mix of both. But I mean, usually things don't end up on either side of some major polarity. If they do, something wrong has happened, and then it will end up correcting itself. It always has done through history. So that's why it is, difficult to walk that middle path. So here we are at CyberConnect, Fahim.eth, and I told you about Bright ID, Proof of Humanity, and Ontology. Those are three solutions. Here's another one that I didn't know about, CyberConnect.me. And I know there's also like some social media, decentralized social media attempts. There's been BitClout. There's been before that, the one of the first ones. What was the name of that? Oh my God, it's on the tip of my tongue. And then there's the 1UP, but before 1UP, there was, there's been some attempts to create some decentralized social media platforms. Man, it's going to pop in my head later on today, probably about 3:30 this afternoon. That's what it was, Anyway, so Fahim.eth told me about CyberConnect.me, and I was like, what is this? So I went in here, and I was like, oh, okay. So connect everyone on Web3. You use your MetaMask to sign in. The Web3 social graph. There's that big word, social graph, that everybody has been like either super excited about or super scared about, And social graph, people say social credit, we're going to be just like China. China, first of all, banned cryptocurrency, right? Except for their CBDC, and CBDC stands for Central Bank Digital Currency. And that is a complete top-down centralized system, government controlled. They own everything in there. They own your data. But the social graph is not necessarily a social credit score. So there's a differentiation here. And this is what I'm trying to come across, is just because something says social graph doesn't mean they're the big scary baddies from China. All right. The social graph is, okay, so what CyberConnect aims to build is a publicly accessible and decentralized social graph protocol that returns data ownership and utilities back to Web3 developers, all right? So while inviting all Web3 social network, okay, so what CyberConnect aims to build is a publicly accessible and decentralized social graph protocol that returns data ownership and utilities back to Web3 dwellers, while inviting all Web3 social networks and metaverse projects to scale with us. A blockchain agnostic infrastructure, CyberConnect supports multiple blockchains for app development and allows dApps to access and use social graph data provided by the users themselves. Right, so nobody's telling you what to provide your data. Yeah, you know, this is all stuff you provide yourself from your own ownership of your own data. Right, okay. So portability plus developer. All right, so people are getting tired of registering and redeclaring their friend relationships on every site, whether that be Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Before that, you had Orkut, you had Friendster, MySpace. You know, and every time one of those platforms started to suck, you had to go to a new platform and hope your friends went with you, right? So people getting tired of registering and redeclaring their friend relationships on every site. This is especially true in Web3, where each user's identity is already portable across sites. With a decentralized social graph owned by users instead of platforms, each user is able to leave an app and join a new one without losing any friends or having to migrate everyone. Yeah, so new social applications could all focus on creating and curating the best content and forget about rebuilding the wheels of a social graph database. Another interesting thing about social graph too is this whole idea about decentralized ID that Bright ID and like Ontology are working on. The whole idea of using social graph to do uncollateralized loans, because a lot of us in the Web3 space, in the crypto space, we know about Aave and Compound, which allows us to use our collateral and our savings as collateral to borrow against, you know, just like the accredited investors do and all the big rich people, they get to borrow against their assets. Us plebs, we don't get to do that because we're not accredited investors, right? But Web3 has enabled everybody to be able to use their assets and to borrow against them. Without worrying about some kind of credit score from TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, right? You know, the three big baddies right there. Those are the big baddies. For instance, I used my credit card for like the first time the other day, and my credit just dropped by 66 points for like absolutely no reason, just because of the fact that I used it. I was like, you know what? I'm so tired of getting these notifications of my credit dropping just because I happened to have used my card one time for gas, you know, so cause I didn't have any cash on me. And my other cards were kind of, it was near payday, right? So excuse me for actually using my credit. I got tired of that, you know? So now we have the power in our hands with Web3 to be able to do collateralized loans. But what if we were able to also do uncollateralized loans using our social graph and our decentralized ID as our reputation system, right? So, you know. Say, well, you could just go, you know, fire up a new wallet, you know. Yeah, you can, you know, but yeah, you know, then you have to go and build up an entire reputation system to that address too. So I don't know. From address to identities. At the dawn of Web3, connecting addresses is just the first step of building a comprehensive decentralized social graph. An address contains only on-chain assets, and it is part of a complete identity. A user may have multiple addresses on different blockchains, social profiles such as Twitter, and off-chain data scattered in different applications. Connecting identities is our long-term vision. We've seen multiple endeavors implementing the digital ID standard, striving for wider adoptions of decentralized identities. The decentralized social graph we desire is an extensive hypergraph and the indispensable building block for prosperous social applications on Web3. So see your rank and play with your friends in Web3 games. And then you can get content recommendations based on a social graph. And then you can send messages to mutually followed friends. You can follow each other's wallets in a way, in a decentralized fashion that does not have some kind of overarching, you know, Facebook style, you know, cyber police and censored platform sitting here telling you, you know, that they owning your data, you know, and hiding information from you as well. So the CyberConnect protocol, fully decentralized, allowing blockchain users to update and access their own social graphs. A user-friendly API will be built on top of CyberConnect protocol, and application developers can easily integrate and access the whole user-generated social graphs on Web3. Then the standalone complex, the recommendation algorithm aggregating connection data from open data source such as Ethereum blockchain, foundation.app, Rarible, and so on. The algorithm will generate a customized recommended addresses to follow list for every address. The name standalone complex comes from a Japanese anime Ghost in the Shell, representing a phenomenon where unrelated yet very similar actions of individuals create a seemingly concerted effort. All right. Okay. Interesting. Kind of sounds a little like shelling points too. If you don't know what a shelling point, this is kind of like this unofficial central point of focus that people tend to generate, like a large mass of people. Like for instance, yeah, they always use the thing, you know, Grand Central Station. If you go to New York City and you don't know where somebody lives, or you know, you have no way of contacting them. But if you go stand in Grand Central Station every single day, at some point you think you might meet them. Or like it was that movie with Will Smith, you know, every single day he's down by the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, and he says, I'll be there every single day. That's kind of like a shelling point, right? So CyberConnect. All right. So let's back to CyberConnect. So I got my ENS domain name system, eurekastreet.eth, and I have eurekajohn.eth. So I already set that up. So I went over here, I connected my MetaMask with eurekastreet.eth. So eurekastreet.eth. All right. And then, so let's punch this into the search engine and see what pops up. And it should pop up. I have zero followers because I just did this morning. I also connected my Twitter address. I don't know. I mean, how it everybody has different tolerances for, you know, identity, obvious, and being doxxed and wanting to be anon and all that stuff. And I think with this, you can be as anon as you want to be. You could just have your wallet with the wallet numbers and the wallet address, and that's it. And, hold on, let me get out of this and start back over instead of like right smack dab in the middle of a verification process. So, you know, you could just use your Ethereum wallet address, right? And then not connect any ENS name to it or whatsoever. And so nothing is necessarily linked to your actual personal body, except for just whatever you do on MetaMask. And then you could build your reputation based on that. Or you could, you know, put up your photo, put up your NFT, you know, put in your address, your physical address. You can dox yourself all you want, you know. So there's varying degrees of doxiness. Obviously, I don't really care. About some things like, you know, doxing my face and, you know, like, yeah, I'm obviously not going to sit here and tell you my physical address, but, yeah. So anyway, here is my, I just put in eurekastreet.eth and this is what pulls up. It goes and grabs my ENS information. It's taken forever to pull up, but it shows my POAPs right here. POAPs are proof of attendance protocols. A lot of times whenever you go to community calls or you finish some kind of certification process online, you'll get like a little POAP NFT that is issued by, you know, whatever platform it's on. And I think that's kind of going to be the future of a resume and things like that. And it's going to be part of your decentralized ID. Now, I don't know why my avatar is not pulling up, because I just sat here and made an ENS avatar. So, none of this stuff is pulling up. So let's see here. View profile. All right. Yeah, because I just sat there. Okay, there it is. Okay, there. Ta-da! It popped up. So this is my NFT avatar. I put this NFT on OpenSea. It shows some of my NFTs. Here's my Crypto Titties NFT. And let's see what else we have. My NFT's top 50. Where's my other ones? I have a buttload of other NFTs. I don't know. So yeah, obviously I still have some more poking around to do on this thing. And then it shows right here my OpenSea's link. Oh, I got to verify my Twitter, I guess. So, and then it allows people to comment on here. So if you want to come in and you can leave me a comment, go to eurekastreet.eth, look me up and say hi, you know, or go to eurekajohn.eth and say hi. There's a lot of ways you can interact with people. And obviously I'm just now starting to poke through all this stuff. Hopefully this will be built out a little more. So, I can show you a little more of this type of stuff, but all this stuff is in its infancy, right? So yeah, here's Vitalik.eth, Maidu.eth, WeAreHiring.eth, CyberLab.eth. Let's see if Fahim.eth has set up his. Let's see here. He's the one that told me about it, so he probably has set something up. So Fahim.eth, where you at, buddy? All right, so he's got zero followers. This is his address. All right, so yeah, here he is, and he's got some NFTs right there. I'll leave a comment. And then let's see what happens. What's up, dude? This is Eureka John. Am I your first visitor? All right. And then I will go ahead and enter that comment. All right. What's up, dude? This is Eureka John. Am I your first visitor? So we'll see how that goes out. You know, I'm just poking around with all this stuff, with these decentralized IDs, with Web3 social graph systems and stuff like that. I think whether or not this goes the path of dystopia or utopia, that it is smart to stay abreast, to stay on top, to be current with everything that is happening, because this way it'll help you navigate. If things do happen to go in an unsavory direction, you will be a little more ahead of the game, knowing which way to turn. So yeah, that's my stance on it. People say, well, why are you looking into all this social graph? You know, this is just going to enslave everybody. Yeah, it might, you know, and that way I'll exactly know right when it's starting to happen, so I can veer other ways and kind of bounce around the lily pads and navigate the system in the best way possible, to try to preserve my own freedoms. Yes, I do own, you know, some Monero. I have some secret network tokens, and I know how to navigate those systems too. And I think that's really important to know the whole gamut of it. And that's why I do this channel, so I can kind of learn about the larger scope of everything. All right. All right. So anyway, okay, this is my New Year's episode. I'm going to go make breakfast for the family, and then I'm going to go skateboarding with my homies today. And then I'll come back and, you know, maybe I'll jump on this evening. If anybody wants to jump on at some point later on, or tomorrow morning, I'd be happy. I'm always happy to have guests on in the morning and, you know, basically talk shop with me. I've done that with several people, and I really love it. I enjoy having people on and hearing where they come from in the crypto space, what their views are, what NFTs they like, what projects they like, what they're all about, you know. So if you're listening to this and you want to come on, just shoot me a DM on Twitter or whatever, and just to hit a brother up, and we can pick a day and a time, and we'll jump on, and I want to hear all about you and what brought you to this space and what brought you to this channel. Give me a thumbs up if you're on YouTube. Give a subscribe too, I guess, at some point. I don't know. It kind of just helps me know that what I'm doing is actually making some kind of difference. You know, so I don't know. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later. All right. Have a good New Year's Eve, and I'll see you in 2022. Later.
Thank you for making it to the end of this program. If you actually like this content, give a thumbs up. And if you want to hear more, just hit the subscribe button. I'm available on YouTube, Odyssey, and BitChute, and on all the major podcasting platforms in audio version. Spotify specifically. If you would like to follow and leave a review, that would help a lot. I am also available on Twitter at EurekaJohn1. That's EUREKA John, JOHN, and the number 1. My DMs are always open. Feel free to shoot me a message. If you would like to donate some stablecoin or Ethereum, please feel free to send it to eurekajohn.crypto or eurekajohn.eth. This will help with the gas costs for all these protocols that I mess around with. Because that gas adds up, and I ain't rich. Yet. Thanks again.